A popular Outcast production.
Another episode of Mixing Up with Mike Carpenter. Hooray! And I'm here with former guest, though I don't know if the episode's going to air or not.
That's but okay.
Former guest, Jared.
You can say my whole name.
Jared Kreiner.
Yeah, nailed it.
Nailed it. So, I know Jared. We met a while ago. Jared, how did we meet?
6 years ago, 5 years ago, Sealand Grove.
I'm gonna bleep it out.
Oh. You don't use places.
Oh, we can see it, yeah. We met there, that's fine.
Yeah, that's where we met, because we know people that live there.
Yeah, that's cool. So.
And we went to a show together.
We went to a
wrestling show together.
And you got to meet Steve fucking Blackman.
Yes, I did. It was fucking awesome.
Son of a bitch.
He's so big.
He was huge.
He's a big man. TV does not do those people justice.
Yeah, no shit.
His arm is bigger than my head. and his car randomly turns itself on and puts all the windows down.
Really?
Yes, it was. They said it was the craziest thing they'd ever seen. They had to go in and tell him that his car just randomly put all the windows down.
Weird. But, so, we're not here to talk about wrestling.
Could be.
This episode might be a dark episode. Probably darker than what most of them have been so far.
Indeed.
But I'm hoping we'll get some positive something. Because I have a lot of questions written down. And trying to keep a positive focus on what we're going to be talking about. But in theory, this will be the death slash mortality slash coping slash mourning episode. In theory.
More or less.
In my life, I have had very, very, very few experiences with any kind of death than people around me. Like, all four grandparents are still alive. Both my parents, my sister, I don't really know many family members who died. I've had a few friends who have died, but very few and none that were, like, I would call, like, best friends. I've had close friends, but not, like, best friends who I see every day kind of shit. But you, on the other hand,
have been going through it nonstop since birth, pretty
correct.
Much.
Yeah. So, I don't really know how to get into it, so I think we're just going to go, are you cool with, like, chronologically?
Yeah, I can.
All right, so, like, just, what was your, like, first experience dealing with death?
Well, I don't remember it, but when I was 6 months old, my father killed himself, wrapped a seatbelt around his neck, drove into a tree going 80, or I've been told, that's what I've been told, you know, how truthful or how skewed the story has gotten over the years.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, yeah, 6 months old, that happened. And so, yeah, that's where we kicked it off. I mean, I've never seen him.
Yeah.
I've never seen a picture of him.
Oh, really?
I don't know his name, nor do I care, really.
Yeah, I mean,
at that point, I
get that, I guess, but
yeah, more or less just, like, I'm not going to mourn somebody for the rest of my life or anything like that.
Yeah, well, I guess, like, the way I would see that, I can't speak for you, obviously, but the way I would see it, if something like that would happen to me, like, to me, it would be someone who never really had a part in my life in the first place. Like, now granted, like, he was your biological father, so as you're older, you understand how that would
be. Yeah, I have a biological father, but then I have my father, my dad,
yeah,
who has taken care of me my whole life. Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, another dude, I don't give a fuck. Fuck him.
But to me, it wouldn't seem like something that, like, I missed out on because I had. Well, I understand. If your situation, like I said, like you grew up knowing a dad.
Yeah.
That was your dad.
Yeah, I mean, it took, you know, a few years before I.
Well, how old were you when you learned that your dad killed himself?
Oh, I didn't know until I was. You know, I don't know. I really don't remember. I just know that I know. It was.
But it wasn't like when you were, like, seven, like, your mom sat you down and, like, son,
I don't even remember. It was just something that I knew. I don't think that it was ever really hidden from me.
Oh, okay. It was just like a common thing.
Yeah.
Not common, but you know what I mean. Like,
yeah. When you're that young, you don't really question why.
Yeah.
And then the first thing I remember is my mom had her second husband, that is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first that's the only person I remember.
Mm-hmm.
So, from her first marriage. Her second marriage. So I don't know. It's weird. It's not really weird, but it's weird for other people to look outside and be like, you don't even know what your real dad looks like. You don't know. I'm like, well,
yeah.
I don't know what to say to him. Like, it's not weird to me because when I grew up, I never saw him. I saw somebody else. I saw this guy. And I never even thought of to question that.
Yeah.
Being that small. All
right. What was the first time, like, well, I guess, well, chronologically then. So, I mean, I guess, like, life, yeah, like, chronologically in your life, that would have been the first death that mm-hmm. would have happened, not, like, to you or around you, whatever you want to call it, but, like, to affect you in some way that would affect your life. Just kind of go down chronologically.
Yeah, number two, big one. 6 years old, 1996, December 25th. My great-grandfather on my now father's side, my father's side, he died. It was really weird. Really, really weird because we have video of him the night before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was really old, but he just didn't wake up. I mean, he didn't look sick at all.
Yeah.
He just looked, we have him, me or whoever was sitting on his lap that night, next morning.
Just didn't wake up. How old was he?
Mid-70s, I believe. I mean, he wasn't old, but he was old.
Like, do you know, like, what the cause of death was now?
Natural causes. Yeah, as far as I know, it was just natural causes. He just didn't wake up.
Yeah.
We never really dabbled into it. I mean, he just...
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. When you're 6 years old, you're like, Mommy,
yeah.
I want to see the autopsy report.
Yeah, and I don't remember him dying. Like, I don't remember that day. I mean, it was Christmas, so mm-hmm. I don't really remember that day.
I should say now also, like, just for the audience, I have written down here a subject that I want to get into eventually, but humor as a coping mechanism for death. We'll get into this eventually, but I'm just saying for the audience now, that is my coping mechanism to deal with any kind of death.
As is with humor. Mine.
Like I said, it would be bad storytelling if we get into that before we get into what happened, but. Just saying, like, if I kind of laugh or giggle or fucking look at you and smile as you're telling me that your grandpa died or some shit, just know
there
are many coping mechanisms to deal with strong emotions and especially death and mourning and that is mine. That is mine for everything. Humor.
I find a lot of people are like that though, more often than not. And then people that aren't like that, I feel like it's worse on them.
Well, anyway, we'll get into this. I'm just putting it right now, just in case you hear me giggle on the microphone or some kind of weird shirt if I make an off comment, you know, blah. That is the coping mechanism.
You just start laughing hysterically.
Well, yeah, A,
like,
I don't want you personally to be offended, and B, I don't want my audience to think, oh my god, this asshole is, what a piece of shit. So next, that was, you were 6 years old?
Yeah.
So,
right. I'm going through, 10 years old, I was 10 when my grandfather on my dad's side
mm-hmm.
died. He was real sick though. He had been in the war. He'd been in Korea. He had a whole slew of medals. He had been shot quite a few times. He got taken down by something, and I believe he had 2 bullets in his stomach. And then 1 in each arm when he went down.
Jesus.
So his bones were made of tissue. As long as I had been alive, his bones had been made of tissue pretty much. Yeah. So he once bent over to pick something up and just fell. And it was on carpet, like, even thicker than this. Like that old, big, shag carpet.
Yeah.
And he broke 3 ribs.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it was a foot fall. Like, he just, oops. Yeah, he got real sick. He got a tumor in his lung, which was cancerous,
mm-hmm.
and he's bedridden on his deathbed for about a couple weeks before.
Yeah.
Yep. And then he just didn't wake up one day. So,
yeah. Okay, like, it was cause of death was, in theory, cancer? Or
yeah, more or less. He had some other things, you know. He was very, never he ate a whole lot going. He was just not in good health.
Yeah. All right. he was, like, 10 years old?
Yeah.
So it's three major death-related incidents by 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And while this is happening, all this is happening, my mom has, at this point, which I should have stated earlier, at this point, I believe my mom was, my mom was going through her second run of cancer at this point in my life. Oh, yeah. The first one was the worst, which when I was 5, she got that. She had colon cancer, which didn't help either because she also had Crohn's disease, and those two.
Oh, yeah, it's no good.
Yeah, that's not good. I mean, I would know.
Well,
I have Crohn's too, so
yeah.
It just, oh, I mean, that one, she didn't look good, yeah. And that one was a real low chance. I mean, it's the most, I believe. Yeah,
I was pretty sure that's the highest mortality rate.
So she got that. So this time, it was the day after she got home from the hospital, she had to have her kidney taken out, because she had kidney cancer. So her kidney was removed, and when they do that surgery, they literally cut you open from your belly button to the middle of your back. They pez dispensed you, and she had staples going all the way. She had gotten home that day, and the next day, he had died.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah. And, I don't even remember. I do remember the funeral, that one. I don't remember my great-grandfather dying, but I remember the funeral. I don't remember the day that he died, but I remember the funeral.
Yeah.
But I remember that whole day.
I've never been to a funeral. Never been to a funeral.
Really?
No, like, I've had, like, my, let's see, my great-grandma, who was pretty close to my family, like, with my immediate family, she died. I was probably, I don't know, 6, 7 years old. I don't remember much about it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go to the funeral for it. I was young. No one really expected me to go to a funeral. My family just, views on death. Just in a predominantly, as far as I know, atheist family, funerals are just kind of like a supporting other family members thing. A 6-year-old has no need to support anyone. You know, mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There was that. Great grandpa, my mom's side, and great grandma, my mom's side, they both died within about 6 years of each other. Again, I think the later of the two was probably, I still probably was more 11 years old, 12 years old. Again, and I have the same view. To me, a child has no need to be in a funeral. That's my personal view.
Yeah, I just don't know. I was too small to really realize what was going on in that first one. The second one, obviously, I'm 10 years old. I know what's going on.
Yeah, and those were the last death. The last death in my family, as far in my immediate family that I know, like the people that I knew, you know, I was probably 11, 10 years old. So, yeah, like I'm now 28, still have, like, really no experience with any kind of death that I know of.
I would never put anything, I would never make somebody go through something like that. I would only hope that nobody ever has to go through anything like that. I mean, obviously that can't happen, but.
Well, yeah, but,
I mean, you're very lucky, and I'm very happy for you.
Well,
I mean.
My thing, well, here, we'll I'll make a note here, and actually, I have that note already. I already have where that's going to go into. But
bam.
So 10 years old. Was that again? Your great
my grandfather.
Grandfather. Okay. So what after that?
And then right after that, there was a stretch. We were okay for a while. Like my grandfather's brother, he died, but I mean, I wasn't really close with him, but that's somebody in my immediate, you know, not semi-immediate, or they were in my semi-immediate family that died.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, you know, a couple others, like, that died, but, and then my mom got cancer again, and she got cervical cancer right after the kidney cancer, and that one, she had to have another surgery. I mean, those two were, they're obviously very serious, and cancer's never a joke, but those two were surgery done. Like, they got both of those good enough, you know, or early enough to just do surgery. So she lost her lady parts, her ability to reproduce.
Hmm.
And then, but yeah, she hadn't been in the hospital too long at that point.
Yeah.
Which, with all that, I actually have this tremendous fear of hospitals.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I could easily imagine that.
And, you know, my friend who works at the hospital, mm-hmm. I tell her, at least I'll never bug you at work. I mean, I literally cannot drive there.
Oh, really?
I can't force. I did it once, just like 6 months ago.
Yeah,
I did it for the first, like the first time. I believe it was the first time I've ever done it, and it sucked.
Oh, yeah.
And the only reason is because it's 6 miles or like 3 miles that way.
Oh, yeah.
And if it was up in New York where most of the people go that are really sick, I wouldn't have been able to do it. I can't drive that far. I shake.
I think my first experience being in a hospital that wasn't for, like, something dumb, like I kicked a door and, like, had to get an x-ray on my foot or something stupid, you know, but, like, for being there for, like, a sick relative, dying relative, et cetera, I probably, I think, was 26. I was just going to say, I have zero fear of hospitals. I've never had a bad experience in a hospital until, you know, About 2-3 years ago. It's probably maybe 25, whatever. Either way, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, definitely not a child.
I mean, I've always just been a kid. I was always in and out of that hospital because mom was always sick.
Yeah.
My mom was always sick, always.
Yeah, I can imagine that would be like a...
17 out of 23 years. Not even a full 23.
Jesus.
That we all had to deal, you know...
Yeah.
Her, most importantly, but...
Well, yeah, but... after 10, what was after your grandpa?
And then the mom got her cancer again, and then there was a little gap, and then I was 18,
mm-hmm.
and this is where it gets real.
I think you remember telling me about this one, like, briefly.
Yep. Alright, so... I don't know, I was just that kid in school that... Smoked a lot of pot, didn't really care about much.
Mm-hmm.
That was just me. I was that guy.
Yep.
Wore a lot of jackets.
A lot of baggy pants.
Yeah, I wore jackets. My hair was longer than this. I mean, I used to tuck up earbuds in my ear and be rocking all day.
Yeah.
I wore like a big ski jacket. I had my Walkman in it. because they were still relevant.
My Sony Walkman.
Yeah, my Sony Walkman. They were still relevant then. I'm not that old.
Yeah.
But I'm not that old, but I'm not that young.
I'm right on that
technological gap.
Yeah.
Where I still experience all the crappy old stuff.
Yeah. But anyway.
So I met this girl, and it was the first and only girl I've ever been 110% and madly in love. I spilled every secret to this girl. I opened up everything because... Mm-hmm. You know me. I don't really spill. I'm not exactly the guy who spills out his entire meaning to people.
Yeah.
Like, I don't do that. I'm me, but I don't let people inside. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
there's reservations.
Yeah. There's a lot of people,
but yeah.
I mean, yeah, but there's this whole different level of me that most people don't know because mm-hmm. They don't need to see it anyway. But
sure.
But. So that happens, and I take her to prom,
mm-hmm.
and it was just one of the greatest times of my life. I mean, I was so happy. It was one of the happiest days of my life ever.
Yeah.
I mean, I was so happy. And then, so I'm madly in love, and she's not exactly 100% towards that,
mm-hmm.
because we're both young at this point.
Yeah.
She's about a year younger than me. So, and of course, me being, you know, young and stupid, I was mad about that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I didn't say anything really bad to her or anything like that. I just got mad and, you know, invisibly mad and just kind of stopped talking to her for a little bit.
Be distant?
Yeah, I was distant. That's a perfect way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
So, she went out and found somebody else, and, I mean, it's whatever. Of course, I'm mad about that, but I wasn't, like... No, death to everybody or anything.
Okay, yeah.
But, and it turns out, you know, he wasn't exactly a good choice. She ended up getting in a truck with him while he was drunk, and he pretty much, he more or less killed her.
Yeah.
I got that phone call when I was drunk. So I'm hammered drunk.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just enjoying, having a good time. We had just graduated. We were out partying.
Yeah.
And it was 3 months, almost 3 months exactly that from when I took her to prom that she was dead. And, I mean, this is the only girl I've ever done that with.
Yeah.
I mean,
can I ask what happened to the guy?
Yeah, he got 3 years in jail. The guy that was next to it, the guy, oh, he, by the way, totally unscratched. He,
oh,
he was, yeah, they always are.
I was just going to say, it works out that way more often than not.
And his buddy who was in the passenger seat, because she was in the, I believe she was in the back of the truck.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that part of the one row of 287
mm-hmm.
that has those big, like, when you're going down it, going to connect to 220. All
right.
And there's big ditches, and he just went off and hit that, and she went
oof.
Real... I mean, one good thing about, you know, that happened. I mean, she didn't feel any pain at all. She hit something head on and was just done. So I mean,
I don't want to say, oh, that's good, but
yeah, that's the best possible thing that could have happened out of that, because there's it going. They said he was going like 75, 80. I mean, there's no way that she would have been in the back of that truck. There's no way she probably would have lived. He got a lot more jail time because he had a bunch of pot on him.
Oh, really?
Yep. And that's America. And that's what happens. He got accidental manslaughter.
For fucking being a passenger?
No, the driver.
Oh, okay.
The driver got accident, like, whatever accident, it is.
Yeah, whatever it's called. Yeah, so second degree or whatever.
Yeah, he got 3 years or something.
Oh, yeah.
And then the other guy got like 5 or 6.
Jesus.
And he was and then like 2 weeks after it happened, because he obviously isn't in jail at this point.
Well, yeah.
He was like in the drive-through of like the McDonald's, drunk as fuck, driving, and hitting and macking on the girls.
Jesus.
Yeah, real winner. Real winner. So there's another funeral that I had to attend.
That's number 4.
Yeah. One, two, three. Three.
Those three. Oh, yeah. I guess, you wouldn't have been at your dad's funeral, in theory.
Yeah. And, that one was rough. That was a real rough time for me.
Yeah, imagine.
I wasn't in a good place. I was bad. I do this weird thing where I don't act like I really give a shit.
Yeah.
I mean, I act okay for about 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
And then it all comes.
Just floods in.
Yeah, it just comes spiraling down.
Yeah, I can see that.
Blaze of glory. I go flying down. Then there was that. And then a couple years ago, I get home from work. Mom sits me down, and she had cancer again. So this is the fourth time, and it was breast cancer.
Mm.
A very high stage breast cancer. They had given her a 33% chance of living.
Mm.
So here we go through this. She had to go through almost 2 years of treatments this time. Because she ended up getting two different types of cancer this time. Breast and lymphadenic. So she had a double mastectomy. So lost all this.
Mm-hmm.
Lost both boobs.
Yeah.
And all of her lymph nodes in this side were gone. She had to take all them too. She was going through two different chemos and two radiation.
Jesus.
Yeah. And she actually, she pulled through. Like, she did. We finally got it. We got it all through. But, I mean, this one was rough. Like, this one, she was not good. All the other times, she hadn't lost all of her hair. She lost, like, most of her hair.
Mm-hmm.
But this time, she lost all of her eyebrows, all of her hair.
Hmm.
It was rough.
Yeah.
And it's rough being in the hospital and, you know, once again, being in the hospital for her double mastectomy and all that. And then, when she got out, somehow she had splintered her spinal column. Yeah, she had to go in and get another surgery because something splintered it back here, and she had to go get that fixed because there was, little bone fragments in the back of her, back of her neck that were spurred up or whatever. But... And then continuing on, rolling around to March of this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, March of this year, I am down in Sealands Grove
mm-hmm.
with some friends, and we were bowling.
Yeah.
It was a friend of mine's surprise birthday.
Best bowl?
Yes, we were at Best Bowl. Of course we were at Best Bowl.
Seal and Grove Best Bowl.
Seal and Grove Best Bowl. You better go there. They do black lights. They have black light night Saturdays.
Literally the best bowl.
It is the best bowl, and they play Nicki Minaj.
Sorry. Anyway.
Therefore, they
win. Add some kind of lightness to what's part of
it. Yeah, we're going to plug the best bowl in Seal and Grove. Well, we're down there. I get a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, it's my dad. So, just to clarify, my stepfather.
Oh, obviously, wasn't your biological.
Yeah, my step. Mom had flown down. She is better at this point. Mm-hmm. She's doing okay. She's being herself again. She's drinking again, which is awesome because my mom's a lot like me.
Yeah.
Like, me and my mom.
Enjoys a drink on occasion.
Yeah, well, we're fun with it, you know, crazy, raging drunk, we're just fun. And it was nice to see my mom be my mom again, and she hadn't been in 2 years at this point, so, she goes down to a family, one of my family members is getting married,
mm-hmm.
so she flies down there, and then, apparently what happened is that she was just standing there, and then she was on the ground. She had a stroke. She had such a small stroke that she didn't realize she had it.
Yeah.
And then she had a seizure, which caused her to, instead of going into full seizure mode, whatever, I don't know what it's called.
Yeah.
She just passed out. Her body just shut her body just shut her off. And what happened? She ended up bashing her head off the table and well, she's down there. Dad drove down that night. He drove to South Carolina that night.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I'm sitting there, you know, I'm at home because I can't, somebody's got to be home.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, because we have a dog.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure somebody would have, but I...
Still, yeah.
Still, yeah, he was already on the road. I was, you know, an hour and a half from home anyway.
Yeah.
So I had to go home. I ended up going home the next day. Well, he brings her back.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, she caught pneumonia on the way back. So she had that going on with pneumonia. So they had to take her to the hospital up to New York. And then they treated her for the pneumonia. And then they sent her home. And because, you know, when you have a stroke, there's blood clots that form in your brain. Well, they don't... I'm not sure why it happened or how it happened.
Mm-hmm.
But... just a huge mass of more blood clots just after they sent her home just formed out of nowhere to the point where there were so many that they didn't think that that's what it was. They thought it was like a tumor or something. That's how many it was on the on the scan. They thought it was something else.
Huh.
Well, she got really sick. Like, she's at home. She's obviously feeling like crap. Well, then she can't see straight. She's dizzy. She starts puking. She can't stop puking even though she's not... nothing in her stomach. She's just still gagging. Well, all the blood clots had formed right on her cerebellum.
Mm-hmm.
So it was messing with all her, that.
Yeah.
Well, so then they take her to the hospital. And that's the day that I first drove to the hospital. Yeah. Like the day that they took her there. So I went there and, you know, she had been there. And then I went back. I ended up going, a friend of my mom's took me there the next time.
Mm-hmm.
She'd been getting better. She was, you know, everything was going fine. They were just treating her and they were getting rid of all them blood clots and all that. And then I had tickets to WrestleMania me and my bestie, we had been waiting. I think I bought them in October. I pre-ordered them in October, so they cost even more.
Yeah.
Well, I went, I'm like, okay, you know. I'm sitting there, I wanted to go real bad, and my mom and dad wanted me to go. Like, mom was, at this point, mom was, you know, she could still talk, and she just said, go have fun, pretty much, and I was like, okay, all right, I love you, you know, bye, and I walked out of that hospital bed, out of that hospital room, and that was the last time I ever spoke to my mom.
Yeah.
Got a call the day of WrestleMania. So we were waking up. It was like, I got a call from dad 6 in the morning, and we were supposed to wake up at 9 to go, because it was only like 3 hours away. So we were waking up at 9. I got this call at 6 in the morning. My dad says, hey, you should probably come home. And I'm like, oh, all right, you know, I'm like, okay, you know. And he's like, yeah, your mom's, they just had to life flight her to upstate. And I'm like, okay, all right, I'll be there. And so, but the way that he said it was like, you need to come home because your mom's just not good.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I understand that. She's always been not good.
Sure, but.
So, I was like, okay, I'm just going to, you know, take a couple hours, just wait for everybody else to wake up, then I'll explain to them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to ruin their sleep. I mean, that's just me being me. I'm sure I would have been justified in waking everybody up at that point, but it was just me being me.
Yeah.
I get a call back at 9 or 9:30, and I had just gotten on the road at this point, or I was just getting ready to leave their house, and he said, my dad tells me, probably the most awful thing he's ever had to say.
Yeah.
He said, hey, you need to get here fast. She doesn't have much time left. What happened was all the blood clots in her brain exploded. They just went. And when they did, they took about over half of her brain. It was just mush.
Jesus.
Because when that happens, wherever, even if it's just one, whatever part of it explodes in, it's just gone. So there was nothing. And I got from there to Wellsboro.
Yeah.
In an hour and 10 minutes.
That's down
there.
Downstate?
Yeah.
That's a...
There ain't no...
A safe 2 hours, 15-minute drive. I make that drive quite often. I know how long that drive is.
It's if there's traffic. I mean, if it's not...
Yeah, but I go downstate once a month, driving, not speed limit, but like 70, 72, cruise control.
Yeah.
That's a 2-hour, 15-minute drive. Hours, 15.
Yeah. About an hour and 10, and then another 50 minutes up there.
Jeez.
So I made it 2 hours around because I had to have somebody drive me there once I got to here
because
I couldn't drive to the hospital. And then I walked in, and then we had to make an awesome decision. We had to decide whether... Okay, so we had this... We could have gotten this surgery that probably wasn't going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And if it did, she would just be nothing. She'd be incoherent with no speech.
Yeah.
Or we had to pull it. Which, I mean, one good thing, she was comfortable. They had her on enough stuff so she was comfortable when she...
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's just my whole family, my whole family from up there was there. Like, that was me and my mother's side of the family was all there. The ones that were close enough. And it was just... It was... I can't put it into words. I sat at that bed and literally watched my mother's last breath leave her body. And it... I can't put it into words. That's something I would never... Worst enemy. Never would put that... Never do it. Somebody I would hate more than anything. I wouldn't wish that even upon Hitler. Like, I just wouldn't...
Yeah.
It's the most heart-wrenching... It's literally that lighting up the mood. It's like the biggest kick in the nuts. It really is. Like, it's bad. I don't know. I couldn't explain it. Like, it's something you just can't. It's such a weird thing, and especially since I'm looking at her.
I still have both my parents, like, I still, like all my grandparents. I couldn't comprehend that. Like to me, like my brain, like I can think of sad things that have happened, but like that's like pets dying and shit. Like I don't have even anything to like even come close to comparing to, like, you know, like I can't empathize with that. Like, I mean, like I mean, that's not the right word. I can't equate anything to that in my own life.
And I actually, it's funny because I have been asked so many times, like, how do you do it? Like,
function.
Like, my mother's was a hell of a fighter. That woman.
Well, obviously
sounds like four times. Yeah. I mean, and what we believe happened is it was that wasn't exactly the cancer that killed her. It was just the after effects of all the radiation.
Well, just, I mean, that's years of just,
yeah.
I mean,
17
bodily damage. Mm-hmm.
I've had this one. I always stick out. This girl I know. She's like, she sits there with me one day, and she's like, I don't She's like, I understand why your mother does it. Like, I understand. She has so much to live for, all this. And she's like, I have a hard time understanding how you do it. Like, you and your dad. Like, how do you guys deal with it? She's like, you look fine. Like, you're acting normally. But all this time, throughout your whole life, you're dealing with all this. All this stuff that happens. And I don't know how to answer that, and I feel weird. I say you just do.
Yeah.
You can't not. So you can't just not deal with it. Like,
yeah, well,
you just go. You just do it. Well, because she said when her mom was, or when she was young, mm-hmm. I guess her mom had a bad back,
mm-hmm.
so she couldn't, her mom has a really terrible back, like, she still does. Like,
yeah.
She couldn't put her up on her knee. Or anything, pick her up and hold her, or anything, and that makes her feel terrible. Like she can't understand. It really messed her up. Like, is what she's saying. It really makes her sad. And she's like, but with all that, she's like, how do you do that? And she's like, that's minuscule as compared to what you go through. And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, it's just, I don't know. And then after all the years, it's just been, I feel battle hardened. Like,
yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I just do it. Like, a lot of things don't really faze me anymore. I mean, that last one was, I mean, obviously, well, for anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, but after all that, all those years, you know, thinking it was over, then it coming back, and then dealing with it, and then, you know, it's just, and she had just as bad as luck as I have had.
Yeah.
Or as much death, because her father killed himself.
Oh. He
committed suicide and left all my aunts and uncles who were still in the house.
Yeah. Well, I was just like, can you tell that story at all? Just like any kind of like a brief version of it?
Yeah, it's...
Because that story alone is pretty crazy.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. The way that my mom would always said it was one day, she was 9 years old, one day he just got home from work, and there's a big gap in between, by the way, there's a big gap in between, I think there was 18 years in between my mom's, her oldest sister, my mom was being the youngest.
Oh, okay.
So she was nine, so a couple, two of them, or two or three of them had been out of the house, there were six of them.
Oh, wow.
So, one day, I guess he just got home, and they said nothing, he'd just been doing what he'd always done. He was just normal. My grandfather was fine. Like, and then just one day he got home and just took gasoline to the whole house, coated the whole house in it, and went into the basement and just lit a match and just burned the whole place down with himself and covered himself and just everything.
Oof.
It just, I don't know. And my grandmother, she's, poor woman, I guess she must have went in after him or something, I believe that's the story, because her hand is, you can see, it's just horribly burned, and it kind of looks like, you know, like a claw a little bit. I mean, she can still move it fine, but it's just...
Having that as a reminder, though, also, like, that's just, like...
Oh, yeah, well, and then she found, you know, thank the Lord, she found my step-grandfather, he's the only one I've ever known, obviously, so... I mean, I never met my real... mom was only nine, but they became born-again Christians, and they have been the happiest people...
Oh, good for them, I guess.
...forever, yeah. I mean, that's fantastic. They're they're both completely different than they used to be.
Really?
They found each other when they both were at their worst.
Good for them.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much the last of... that was March?
Yeah.
And this is August.
Yeah, and now, this year's just not been fun. Yeah, I found out I got this. No,
the understatement of a lifetime.
I also find out I have some crazy degenerative knee problem.
Yeah.
This joint thing, whatever's going on with me, I have to go to physical therapy or I can't walk by the time I'm 30, and I'm 23. And then, you know, week before my birthday, or 5 days before my birthday, the dog dies.
Yeah.
And
that
I walked...
Like a long time pet, correct? That was like a...
Yeah, she was 12, 11.
Oh, yeah.
12, yeah, she was 12.
You're 23, 4?
Yep, 23.
23, yeah.
So, Yeah, she just... But that was the thing. She was my mom's dog.
Yeah.
And they say pets. Like, right there. Case in point. Pets know when shit's going down. Like...
Yeah.
Like, that dog was always... Like, my mom was always home. Because, you know, she was always... More than often not, she was sick. So...
Yeah.
So she was always home. So me and Dad never actually had to worry about the dog, which...
Yeah.
Which was a little weird right after everything happened, because we'd have to call each other, did you get the dog? Like,
yeah.
And so, like, yeah, the dog passed away, and she just stopped giving a shit.
Right.
She just stopped giving a shit right after. She knew. Yeah. It's so weird how that was, but she would lay in the basement on the couch and not move. And then one day, she dropped about 50 pounds in 1 week.
Right.
Yeah, it was rough. I had to carry her outside to make her go to the bathroom.
Like, you want to take a break quick?
Yeah, I'll take a break.
Let's go take a break.
Oh.
We'll be back.
Hey, guys. I have a secret for you. If you go to popularoutcast.com and click on the purple banner for Amazon and clear your cookies first, you can go to amazon.com and buy all the fucking shit you want. And we get a little taste of the profits. Oh, God, the profits. We'll make so much fucking money, and we can buy new microphones, and buy new cars, and buy a cruise ship, and live like fucking kings. So help us out. Click the fucking banner. We love you. Bye.
Yep.
We're back.
Yes, we are.
After a cigarette, guests are following my quitting smoking attempts, and... I have had a few cigarettes in the last couple of days. I've not bought a pack in like 2 or 3 weeks.
But nobody steals all mine.
I do. It's all I drink. When I drink, I just want to smoke. And it's awful. But at least I'm not sick now. Because the last 4 episodes for me, sick as shit. It's like, ugh. But,
so smoke a cigarette before every episode.
Yeah.
And that's the only one you're allowed to have all day.
But that break was brought to you by the one true cola. RC Cola.
Goddamn right.
Royal Crown like a son of a bitch.
Royal Crown Soda. We just found out that I believe that we are the only two people that prefer RC Cola.
Yeah, no kidding. But shit's awesome.
Royal Crown.
So, that whole beginning, we talked a little bit during our break, but for the listeners, the whole beginning here is pretty much just personal experience. We're going to get out of personal experience and away from just dark, sad, sadness. Like, oof. Like,
yeah.
No offense, Steve, but you know what I mean, I guess. But
I can see it over there. It looks like you were just sitting there, you were letting it all in, and it was...
This is the least I've ever spoken on an episode of my own podcast.
Yeah,
the least I've ever spoken on any episode of any podcast I've ever done.
But, I'm not gonna lie, you looked a little rough. Like, right when I started getting into the 18, or probably about the time after my grandfather died. After that. Say,
the girlfriend on thing kind of got me a bit, but...
Oh, yeah, well, that's a hard thing, like...
Yeah, and then...
And I try, and I've had problems, and I'm not gonna lie, I've had problems. I can't do that with women anymore. I can't open up like that, like I did, and that's serious. Like, I can't do it, because... Yeah. The what, like, I'm 1-0, like, or 0-1, I mean, yeah. it's just, you open up to somebody,
I know. That's a weird way to put it, like, 0-1.
Like, yeah, like, it's so weird, it's like, I did that one time, and it just, bam, that's what happens.
Yeah.
I mean.
Alright, so, enough of.
Enough of me.
Enough of personal.
Enough rolling on.
Personal tales.
That road.
But, so, I want to get into, belief in. Afterlife theory, afterlife, like, my listeners know I am I don't want to say devout, because I don't like that word, you know, but, an atheist through and through. I'm always open to possibilities of other things, but until I experience them or see them or have evidence that they are true, I believe in, I just don't believe, I don't believe in God, ghosts, spirits, fucking yetis, you know.
Bears. So, I don't believe in something, so therefore it is not real.
Well, yeah, but yeah, again, like, if I see a ghost someday, if I'm in my basement and a fucking floating specter spirit comes up to me, you know, obviously my beliefs will change. But anyway, so I have very atheistic views on afterlife. What do you? What are your? And again, I have no real basis of death. Like, yeah. To me, like, I haven't had anyone personally die, I guess, and I don't know what, like, I don't know. I don't know where I was gonna go with that thought, but what are your views on the afterlife?
I was raised in a very churchy environment.
All right.
It's weird because one half
positive my, churchy or negative churchy?
I'm positive.
Good.
One. It's so weird coming from two different spectrums because I have the family that I'm here with that was my father's side, and they are very, very churchy. Very, very churchy. Some of them are a little too. There's being like faith. Having faith is not a bad thing, and I don't about in anything. But the people that
to an extent I agree.
Yeah, there's the people that try to like no, you need to believe this.
Sure.
Punch you in the goddamn throat with it.
See, the only reason I, and this is off topic, but I can never disagree with someone when they say, just in general, having faith is a good thing, because there are some people in the world that have faith that if they blow themselves up with other people.
But
but just having, there's too many extremes, and because of those extremes, I don't want to ever say a black and white thing. Like, oh yes, 100% black and white, faith is a good thing to have. It can be done.
But that's what I was just saying. I mean, there's having faith, being like, yes, there is a higher power. Yes, Lord is God. But I think then there's that extreme where, like, you're gonna go to hell if you don't go to church every week.
Sure.
Which some of them are like that.
Sure.
I don't have faith if I don't go to church every single every week.
To me, believing in the afterlife, I think is. I wish I did. To me, my own, and we'll get into this, my own views on mortality and fears of mortality, I don't think I would have them as much. I don't think I'd have the anxiety about death that I do have if I believed that when I died, I wouldn't be done. Like, my every memory and every experience I've ever had would be for nothing.
It's such a hard thing to think. Like, you can't. I thought about that, too. Like, you're sitting there. Like, you're dead. You're not going to ever see, or nothing's going to happen to you ever again in your life.
Correct. Like, to me, it'd be like what happened to me before I was born? Like that is what, to me, it'll be
it's
like.
It's such a hard concept to grasp that you're just nothing.
Well, yeah, nothingness. Nothingness is a foreign concept.
Yeah, and it's not even like you just see black or anything. No, just nothing's happening. Yeah. You cease to exist.
Because when people are like, oh, it's just like you're sleeping. Like, no.
No.
When I go to bed, I don't want to say I know I'm getting up in the morning, but I do. Like, I know when I go to bed, I'm going to do something tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, when I go to bed, I'll still have all these memories when I wake up. Or I'll still dream, or I'll still have consciousness, or, you know,
yeah,
the world is still flowing around me.
But
anyway,
it's such a weird thing, because I had that side, and the other side of the family is not like that at all.
Mm-hmm.
They're not. They like to party. They like to have a good time. They love to live life.
Yeah.
YOLO.
Oh, God.
The worst thing ever ever created. I say it really awesome.
I'm worse than why. It is ironically.
Hey, I drank too much tonight. YOLO. The excuse for everything.
The college motto.
But you know, even with, so it was weird when I grew up. It was weird. One's this way. They're not. Most of them aren't too extreme on either thing, but it's just weird. And then I grew up kind of more or less like I went to church all the time till when I was little. But when I got older, I realized like I'm not so much. I believe in a higher power. There's something going on.
Do you believe that there's a conscious being, or just like maybe like a force that unites stuff?
Let's go to force, because it's something. I can't even explain it. I mean, I don't sit here and think stew about it or anything.
Okay, yeah. I do for some reason.
Some people do. Some people do.
I wish I could get out of my own head sometimes, but it just doesn't happen.
But so I grew up thinking that, and then what I'm getting to, I was getting to this.
Sorry, as I interrupt you constantly.
That's okay. That's okay. I love you.
Oh, yeah. I love you, too. Continue your thought process.
When it came to the afterlife, I watch stuff with ghosts. I do. I always have. And I was always like, you know what? This might be real, but I'm not somebody... I watch, like, Ghost Hunters. Like, if I watch that, I'm like, well, that's pretty cool. And I get, you know, if I'm watching something scary, I get freaked out. Like, especially like a ghost movie. I mean, we went and saw The Conjuring, and the movie wasn't very scary, but...
I enjoyed it.
But yeah, I enjoyed it, but it was... But a lot of demon...
I was gonna say, that was more demon-y than ghost, I
yeah,
guess,
it was. Still. It was more... But it was, so, ended up being a little more religious.
Oh, yeah,
it ended up being about...
Yeah.
Exorcisms.
Yeah.
But... Like, stuff like that, I'm like, eh. You know, I was kind of drawn away. But some of the little ghost stuff, I mean, I always was like, okay, that's pretty cool, but I don't think it's real, really. I didn't think any of that until my mom passed away. Any of that.
Mm-hmm.
I just never knew, and then it happened. Then stuff starts happening. A friend of ours has a kid who is just turned 3, and... So he was born right around the time my mom got sick again this last time. And honestly, he really helped her through it. I mean, having that little guy, because she always watched him. So having that little guy around all the time was, it was very helpful for her.
Sure.
Children.
Yep.
And she loved kids. Like, for a woman that only had one, being me, she should have had, you would think she would have had 100, like... She would have loved, you know, she'd been a woman that could handle it. It's just how she was. But she, because she treats every kid that she ever meets like they're her own. She always did. It's just how she is. But about every night after my mom passed away, he would scream uncontrollably in his crib every night. And then his mother ended up telling us, it was about a week after she died, this kid is 2 at this point. He just turned 3, so he's 2.
Mm-hmm.
So he can talk, but he can't really, you know.
Yeah, he can't, like, not, like, full verbally, like, explanations and shit, sure.
Until this day.
Oh, really?
Which is weird. He walks up to her, and he's like, Mommy, I saw Mimi, and which was what he called my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And his mom was like, you know, it's kid, so.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, okay. You know, she's like, oh, that's, you know, good. And he's like, no, I really saw Mimi, and she was in her castle. Yeah, and so at this point, his mother's like, what?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, she said I couldn't come stay with her, or I couldn't see her, but one day I'll be able to come see her. I mean, not that perfect, but I mean, more or less that's what he said.
That concept, yeah.
And then every day, and then the next, that night, slept fine.
Hmm.
They didn't want to tell me that for, you know, obviously.
Understandably.
And then there was this one day, and I'm still a little skeptical about this, this next thing that happened, but me and my friends were up, and family, some family, some friends, were up at this camp that we always used to go to, and we were planting a tree for, which was a really great day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had taken tons of pictures of all of us. Well, there are 2 pictures where it's just me. And just on these 2 pictures, there's this little orb that's on me. And it's like, okay, sun, you know, reflection.
Orbs,
or,
yeah, I mean, sun. Everyone, you can Google orbs and find every explanation of how they...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, that first, so I see the first one, I'm like, okay, whatever. Well, they take, whoever was taking the pictures, they had a real, I forget who it was, but it was one of... Mom's friends. Mm-hmm. She has a really nice camera. She was doing one where it would take one every like couple frames.
Yeah.
Well, I have moved in this next picture, and this thing has moved with me.
Yeah.
Like, so the camera has not moved, but I have, and the thing has moved with me, and it's still in the same spot, and it's like around my arm.
Yeah.
And it's just really weird. Like, and so, like, ew.
Yeah.
Ooh. The second one's what gets me, because of the first one, and I'm like, I mean, I still think, like, maybe something not, but just the fact that it moved with me. I mean, I'm sure there's gonna be like a lot of people who are like, oh, it's just
skeptical, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, it's weird when it happens to you.
Sure, I was gonna say, to me, ever skeptical. I'm like, oh, specks of dust.
Yeah,
blah blah blah.
Yeah.
But again,
but then there's
personal experience.
75 other pictures that she took that don't have that at all.
Yeah.
And it just happens to be these two with me, just me, which is, whew.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, there's something going on.
So it's after, like, you do believe in like this some kind of afterlife? Then
there's something. There's got to be at this point that I've seen. There's something.
I hope there is. Like,
me too. I really do. I don't want it to be done when I'm done.
I know
you have that tremendous fear of...
Oh, God.
I haven't
lived a day without a panic attack since I was, like, 10 years old.
I can't imagine having a panic attack every day.
Anxiety and just, you know, depression, blah, blah, blah. Just death, man.
I don't know what's going to happen when I die.
Yeah.
But I don't... I just... Every day is a new day, dude. I mean, if I die tomorrow, I really hope there's something.
Yeah.
I really hope there's something else going on, because I don't know. I like being alive.
So do I. I love it. It's a good time.
Yeah.
Even if it's a shitty time.
Even if it's a shitty
time. It's better than not being alive,
yeah.
I think. I mean, I'm
sure.
Yeah. I imagine any kind of existence is better than non-existence.
I like existing in this world.
Yeah.
I like being a part of what's happening.
Yeah. I like socializing with people.
And I feel bad for people that don't.
Oh, so
because
do I. So do I. 100%. Yep. I like food. I like drinking and just doing things. I like seeing movies. I like music. There's just things that I like to do.
There's so many things in life that you can just sit there. Like, that's what with music. Even if you're down in the dumps, any emotion you could ever feel, there is a perfect song.
Yep.
There is the song. Like, and the thing is, even if there isn't, there will be tomorrow because...
Yep. There's so many of the songs. It's like, oh, this is the breakup song. This
yeah,
is the...
Everybody does.
The sad song. This is the happy song.
My tattoos. This is a song.
Yeah. I was going to get into that. I don't know if you want to talk about your tattoos or not, but...
Oh, yeah. Both my forearms are covered.
They can be the cover if you want.
If you want, I got pictures on my Facebook. You can just grab them right off that.
Cool. I was going to say, I like your tattoos. They're nice. So.
Up one of my right arm, it says it won't be long. And then going down my left arm, it says we'll meet again. And obviously for, you know, my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And for the girl that I mean, I always wanted... When I first came up with this tattoo idea, it was the girl that I was madly in love with, that when she died. I came up with this tattoo then.
Yeah.
I never did it. Yeah, I just never did it. It's a big decision, number one, to make, too. Because there is my first one.
No,
for two, technically. But
sure.
Yeah.
Your first tattoos.
Yeah, so, and then my mom did it, and my mom passed, I was just like, you know what, that's happening. I don't care. It took me a while to do it, because I work insane hours anyway, but...
Well, sure.
But, yeah, so... Yeah, I did all that, and if nobody knows what this is, it's from a Killswitch Engage song. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people don't listen to them. A lot of people do, but a lot of people don't. I mean, they're a metal band, and
I'm sure a decent amount of my listeners probably listen to
them. Yeah, it's from the song Rose of Sharon, and it's the whole chorus to that song is. I mean, if I had like really gotten into it, I probably would have got the whole thing on me. But, yeah. I mean, first off, I got tiny-ass arms, so... I mean, that takes up a lot of a lot of space, as it is. I mean, the whole thing, it won't be long to meet again. I'm mind-blanking on the stupid lyrics because I'm thinking about it. It won't be long to meet again. Your memory is never passing. It won't be long we'll meet again. My love for you is everlasting. I burn for those who never knew you. And then repeat chorus.
Yeah.
It's that strong. That's a strong song. Like, they do that, too, I've noticed.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're a fan of them. I don't dislike them, but me and metal. I'm picky on my metals.
Yes, you are.
I know.
But not on your hair metal.
No, I love some hair metal. So there's your afterlife. All my points here are kind of flowing together. I have certain notes, like belief in afterlife, your own mortality, but we kind of got into how you view your own mortality. Like, do you... So, I mean, we kind of got on to that. Like, obviously, yes, my own mortality is always in the back of my head. It's not even the back of my head. It's, like, near, like, the middle of my thoughts at all time. I always think about how old I am. I always think about, like, I'm 28. That's one-third of my life. Hopefully, if I'm lucky, I have lived one-third of my life. Yeah. And I could just fucking, you know, fall over, you know, boom, you know, pass out, hit my head on something, you know, Million Dollar Baby style, you know, whatever, like, never saw it?
Yeah, I've seen it.
But
she didn't just fall over, she got knocked out.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, she had another goddamn bucket and fucking, you know, boom, she's dead.
Stool.
Whatever, you know.
Come on.
Like, spoiler alert, Million Dollar Baby, but, whatever, like, you know what I mean, like, if I'm lucky, if I die of natural causes and don't, like, some crazy shit, I'll have lived one-third of my life. Knowing that I've even lived one-third, greatly just fucking, like, I'll probably have a panic attack in this podcast. Yeah, just, oh, God. But, like, so, do you, like...
Do I think about it?
Yeah, do you stew about this shit?
Not really.
Oh, God, good for you.
I just...
Jesus.
I did. Yeah. I did for a little bit right after Mom passed. Yeah. I started thinking, because she was always sick... Honestly, let me look at it. Look at the damn facts.
Yeah.
Look how sick she was.
For 17 years.
Do you think that there's any possible chance I could probably have some of that? Like, yeah. I mean, I already know I have one thing from her. I mean, yeah. We both have Crohn's. I mean, that was a hard thing for me to get through. Like, that was like, whoa, wait a second. I had never thought about it.
Yeah.
I had never thought about it until she passed. Like, what are the odds that I'm going to get sick?
No.
Like, I almost changed everything in my life at that point.
Yeah.
I almost moved downstate. I almost left my job, which, you know, my job is very lucrative.
Good job.
It's a very good job, and I almost just threw it all.
Yeah.
Just because of that. That one thought. It's almost like Inception.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
and there's the comedy.
Yeah, so let's get in. We'll go to comedy then. Coping mechanisms. Coping with, I mean, whatever you want to, your own mortality, others' mortalities, mourning.
I mean,
even advice. Like, what advice? Like, I'm sure maybe, I don't know how many listeners I have, but I mean, I'm sure one of them probably, statistically, someone is probably going through something. Yeah. Do you have any advice? Being that you've experienced it more than others and probably harsher than most people. Fucking 100% more than me. Give me advice.
For most people, in situations like this, I believe it better be one-on-one with somebody. Listen to what they're going through and then give advice. Because I'd feel weird giving people advice.
Generically.
Generic
cure-all.
The only thing I can say, alcohol helps. It really does. I do not care what people say. Alcohol, not a lot, not a crazy, tremendous amount of drinking, but look where I'm at all the time.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we do. We go to the bar.
Yeah, we go to the bar a lot.
My friends think I have a drinking problem, even though
I don't. I mean, I'm just there all the time.
Well, that's my thing. I'm just there. I just go to the bar. I just go there to be social. I have a couple beers, but, like, I mean, I haven't been drunk in ages. Like,
if people listening have a place where they can go, like a bar with that atmosphere, even it doesn't have to be a bar, somewhere where you can go.
Yeah, I guess, like, where we go, though, there's a family atmosphere there.
Oh, yeah, because we're all friends.
We're all friends. I mean, everyone knows everyone's name. Yeah. Everyone's just kind of cool and just chill.
I mean, when the owner of the bar is a very good friend of...
Sure.
Yeah, like, when he's a good friend of mine, I mean... That's just the place to go. It just happens to be a bar.
That's my bar downstate. Like, I mean, all the bartenders there, they're all there. They are all family, and I love them all to death. And, like, that is my family bar.
You see how they treat me. I mean, like,
sure.
Some of them claim me as their own, like their child.
How you are at this bar is how I am at my bar.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be a bar. I mean, it just happens that they serve lots of alcohol.
It just happens to be that the bar is for us. Yeah. But it could be a restaurant for some, a family restaurant.
Yeah, I mean, and you know what? And I don't care. Alcohol helps me. It's probably not good for everybody, but alcohol helps.
Yeah. I'm sure weed helps some people.
If I could smoke it, I would every day, nonstop. I would. I honestly probably don't even think I'd have a drink. I'd have a drink. I'd give up alcohol for weed any day. Some days, I'm a very stressed person, and really? I think it's because I used to smoke all the time.
Yeah. See, I'm so not. I don't stress about anything except about dying. Like, I just think about dying all day. I'm like, God damn it. But, like, I'm not stressed. I mean, I usually don't stress. I'm stressed right now because of bills and bullshit, but, like, I'll get over it.
It's just like, I think it was 7 years straight, and I was high a lot. Yeah. Like, every day, just high. And then I quit. Just, I find an amazing job. I'm like, oh, I got to clean up. So I did. Just quit. Cold turkey. Just went for it. Mm-hmm. Not as hard as most people think. And you know what? You can't get addicted to it. And everybody says that. But everybody's like, yes, I am. I think it's
0.03% of people are able to be chemically addicted to THC.
Yeah, but
it's such a small percentage.
And the thing about it is they get mentally addicted to it. They just think they need it.
We were looking up. My friends and I were debating this one night. And we looked it up. And it's a... I'm almost sure it's 0.03% are able to be chemically addicted to THC.
And
everyone else says, yeah, if everyone ever says they're addicted to pot, yeah, it's pure,
placebo.
Emotionally, yeah, whatever. They are not physically addicted, but
it's a placebo effect. If you could hand them what they think is pot, you can give them... Yeah. They'd be like, oh my god, I'm so stoned. No, you're not.
Give them, like, movie pot, like whatever they smoke in movies, like that.
I think it's like plastic.
No, actually, I thought it was the other, whatever, one sex of the plant, of whatever marijuana plants, like there's, like, the female of the plant.
Female is what they use to grow.
Okay.
So it's male.
Okay, well, whichever one isn't the one that gets you high. One gets you high, one doesn't. I think they smoke the one that doesn't.
I believe Trailer Park Boys taught me that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he goes out and buys a bunch of males, and then he makes them go back.
I think I heard that in some movie podcast. We're talking about Cheech and Chong movies, even though Cheech and Chong movies actually smoke weed, but... They were talking about what they smoke in movies when, you know, in Hollywood movies and shit, you know, where they can't get away with actually smoking weed.
Yeah. But I just, I don't know.
Anyway, but whatever. But yeah.
Trailed off on marijuana there.
Yeah, no shit. But, alright, so, I don't know what we were talking about, but.
We were talking about, like, ways to cope and.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, I mean, don't self-destruct yourself. Don't go way down that road where you're not going to pull yourself out of, because that's not good. But go to a bar that you know everybody. Go to a bowling alley, a pool hall, something where you know people.
People will come.
Yeah, where you know that at least like four or five friends are always going to be.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's all I can say. That'll help. Just being around people that can make you smile, and just don't try to drag the mood down. Don't be like, well, I would be laughing at that, but if I wasn't so sad. No, yeah. don't act like that. Just be yourself. Just put that mask on, and then finally, and there's you know, people wear masks. If you've ever seen The Mask, they say that.
Oh yeah, Ben Stein.
Yeah, Ben Stein. Writes that book. But that's true. That's actually a very true statement. People do, and you just got to put on that mask, and you know, and then sooner or later, you're good. Like you're getting through it, and I mean, you're gonna have moments of weakness. Everybody does.
Yeah.
You're gonna break down, even if you don't. If you're like me, I get very numb to most things after they happen, and it takes 3 or 4 months before I break down, and you know, it happens.
Yeah.
I knew it was going to happen. It happened not too long ago, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually on my birthday.
Yeah, I remember that night.
Yeah, I disappeared.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I was doing.
I know.
Yeah, it was a really hard night. It just all hit me at once. I mean, I was trying to be okay after the whole day. It was like the first day that I was like, wow, I really... really wish my mom was here. Like, it was bad. Like, I was like, oh. And then, you know, the dog had just gone, and I was just like, oh.
And you tried to drag some girl on the dance floor, and she dislocated your finger.
Yes, and then I put it back. And then I put it back in like a true badass. It's not exactly straight.
Yeah, it'll work.
Yeah. Your listeners are gonna think, oh, he's like, whoa, that guy's a hard ass motherfucker.
Yeah.
No, that? I'm not.
What is this, Rambo?
Yeah, who is this, Rambo? No, I was very drunk, like, and I said,
powder in your shotgun wound.
I literally looked at my friend, said, quick decision, and then just cracked it back into place.
Quick decision.
Which, right now, thinking about that, I'm like, I feel like a badass that I did that, but people are going to be like, whoa, that guy, like, he feels no pain. No, it hurt a lot. Even being that drunk, it hurt a lot, number one. And don't think I'm some badass guy. I weigh 130 pounds. I am nothing.
So you're pretty drunk too. So
yeah, I was pretty drunk. But I can drink like a 500 humor. Pound man.
Humor as for coping mechanism. I don't know. Why does it work? Why does that help?
I don't know why.
Does that help everybody, or is it just like certain weirdos?
I don't know. We ain't weirdos.
What's that?
We're not weirdos.
Oh yeah, bullshit.
We are weirdos.
Oh yeah.
Yes, we are.
Like that is my coping mechanism for everything. Humor.
Yeah, it just. I don't know. I don't know why it works. It just does. Just does. Yeah. I don't know. If somebody doesn't know if it's gonna work, I mean, try it out. It might help you. I don't know how you like what.
I wouldn't even say like, oh yeah, just make a joke about your dead blah. Like, no, yeah. It doesn't work. Like, I don't know. Everyone I know, that's just kind of the thing. That's what we do. We all just like joke about shit. You know?
I don't think people could like if because. I don't think people are like. I think people are pre-programmed to cope a certain way. Like yeah. Most people
I guess,
are.
I guess humor's everything because you have your Gilbert Gottfrieds who get in trouble for like fucking making a goddamn joke about the tsunami and shit.
Yeah, like when Jimmy Kimmel made that Chris Benoit joke like a week after he killed his whole.
Was Jimmy Kimmel that made it?
Yeah,
I didn't think it was Jimmy Kimmel. I thought it was fuck.
Yeah, it was Jimmy Kimmel on the roast of Flavor. I think it was Roast Flavor
Flav. Yeah, it was a roast.
He said Chris Benoit's a better father than you.
Yeah.
And it was like a week after it happened, everybody's like, oh.
Yeah, I remember that joke. God, that was funny.
Yeah, I thought it was funnier than hell.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, oh, that's fucking hilarious. Yeah. I've seen some pretty fucked up jokes like.
Oh, sure. I made them on stage.
Yeah,
do you believe in too soon, quote unquote? Like, do you believe that there's a too soon for that joke?
I say it because it's funnier when I say it.
Well, yeah, I say ironically, like, yeah, oh, too soon, too soon. I say when people make AIDS jokes because that to me is even funnier. Like, oh, yeah. Too soon for an AIDS joke.
Yeah, too soon for an AIDS joke. It's like, oh, a slavery joke, too soon.
Yeah, too.
Did we just get rid of that? As I rock my Abraham Lincoln shirt.
Oh yeah, that's a fun shirt.
Yeah, it's like. Oh, John Wilkes Booth killed Abraham Lincoln. Oh, I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah.
Didn't mean to bring that up.
Too soon.
Too soon.
But do you believe there is a too soon? Is there a too soon for you?
Like, directly after it happens, yeah.
Well, yeah, I imagine, like...
I don't know. Certain things, I believe, get a little more time. Like 9/11.
Yeah.
Going right after, not probably the best idea.
Yeah.
But...
The one time my closest friend... That has died. A friend of mine, this is, I don't know how many years ago, 5, 6 years ago, a friend of mine killed herself. The morning we found out, what was that morning? I guess she killed herself at night, they found her in the morning, whatever, you know, and rumors started circling around that morning, and we were like, oh shit, my other friend and I, we were like, all right, we'll go online. This is like back when MySpace was a big thing, so.
Yeah.
we're like, oh shit, we should check her MySpace page. And then my friend said, why? What do you think? She's going to have a post? Oh, by the way, guys, I killed myself today. And, like, and we just cracked up laughing. It was the funniest thing in the fucking
That's
world.
That's so mean.
Like, our friend, we literally found out 5 minutes ago that one of our good friends died. And what do? Make a joke about it instantly.
That's the way we cope. Though.
Like, to me, I don't believe in too soon. To me, I don't think there's a too soon. There is always, just to me personally, I'm not saying to you, to someone else. So, yeah, like, someone else's. You know, some woman, her son dies or some bullshit. I'm not going to go, well, you know, blah, blah. But it's, you know, it's some
and
joke.
I actually had somebody in my life do that. A friend of mine's grandmother shot her husband and then shot herself. And like 3 or 4 hours later, he came up. He's like, oh, that's crazy. She must have been like, oh, I caught you cheating, boy. And she was like, do-do-do-do-do. Like, and like making gangster motions. Like,
this is the grandson?
No, this was just some guy.
Some guy too.
Well, you saying it to me, and it was one of my friends.
Oh, I got you. I got you.
And I knew them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Like, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Like
that one. That one's not even. Like, but he wasn't even trying to be funny.
I believe that things are too soon for other people. So yeah, I wouldn't go to someone else. Like the Sandy Hook thing. I wouldn't go to some Sandy Hook survivor and make the Sandy Hook joke.
Yeah.
But like to me personally, I don't think there's something in my life that has happened yet that I think there would be a too soon for. Like to me, like I'll make jokes about my own situations.
Yeah.
At that second, because that's just where my brain goes. My brain instantly goes to humor time, pump out the humor so we can laugh about this, so we can get over it, so we can cope with it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and then right after, you know, when like, in my life, when people have died, I mean, some people in my family, they're like that. I think that actually runs in my family, the whole humor. I mean, it runs in the family, and it does help. Mm-hmm. At least me.
No, you're a funny kid, though, also. I mean, like...
Thank you.
I'm a hard sell to laugh. I really am. You've made me laugh on pretty much every day that we hang out, really, but, like... You know,
I like making people laugh.
Yeah, but I definitely I'm a hard sell to laugh. But it's hard to get me to laugh
because I can be the most awkward person.
Yeah,
I love awkward moments. Oh my sweet Jesus, awkward moments make me happy.
Me too, definitely. God, that's some good RC Cola.
That's right. This episode is brought to us by RC Cola.
Do they have a slogan? I wish I knew what it was.
Why would they need one? They're Royal Crown Soda.
Yeah, they're... Oh, it's good stuff.
Taste of the Queen. Taste the Queen.
Let's see what else I have in my notes here that we didn't go over here quick. And I think that's... Oh, okay. So, yeah, one thing. And I talked about this outside a little bit. Earlier in the episode, like, when I said to you, you know, I don't have a lot of experience with death, blah, 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 blah. And you said that that's good. You're lucky. In my head, I'm wondering, well, like, is it, like, is, to me, I think it'll be harder to cope with something, to cope with a major death that is inevitable, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I don't die tonight, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If I live my full life, obviously, there will be someone close to me who will die.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be harder for me to cope with that death now that I'm almost 30 and have not had to cope with any of that? Than it would be for someone who, and for you personally, who have had massive death experience throughout most of your life, or at least.
I don't know. That's a tough call. I guess it more reflects on you as a person, really.
Yeah.
I think some people. I don't know. I mean, me. I'm.
Like, I mean, I imagine there's not a correct answer to that question.
Yeah, I don't.
I mean, like to me in my head, I'm like. I personally think it's going to be harder for me. Like, I'm like, oh, had I been alive, like, or had, like, I had gradual deaths occur mm-hmm. all throughout my life. You know, like, say, like, one every couple of years, you know, like most people. I assume most people have, like, a death every so often, every couple of years will happen. You know, mm-hmm. Like, oh, my grandma just died, or oh, my uncle, or blah, blah, you know, my friend, blah, blah, we're going to funerals and shit. That have had, like, these gradual things that kind of, like, prepare them emotionally. I've had no emotional preparation to deal with, you know, grandparents or parents or...
That is a hard call. I don't know. I mean, I think it's just like going back to how people cope.
Yeah.
Was like, you know, us being humor cope.
Yeah.
And other people not being that way, but they're... I mean, it's just all about that person. Like, how they're going to cope with it. It really is all it is. I can't even explain it, like... I can't even think about how somebody else would go because I'm me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't understand how somebody else would go through.
Like,
really.
In my head, the way I'm trying to rationalize it is like I know like someone who dates a lot, someone who dates a lot of people. You know, has had tons of breakups and tons of tons of relationships, tons of falling in and out of love, and have had breakups all throughout. Generally, after like their 13th, whatever 20th breakup, breaking up with someone isn't so difficult anymore. Than it is, you know, for the first, that first heartache. Well, I mean, I guess you're, you have a slightly different experience with that. But, you know, for me, like, I've had my first heartbreak was bad. My second breakup, it was bad, but it wasn't as bad. My third one, not as bad as that. Like, it just seems like it gets, like, easier every time. And I know a breakup is different than a death.
And it probably doesn't help you personally out to be so absolutely petrified of death.
Just my own, though.
Well, I mean...
I'm petrified of my death.
Yeah,
Someone else dying doesn't end my life, which makes
I know, me but just... Better. Especially with somebody close to you, that's... Like, let's say, you know, God forbid, your mother or your father dies tomorrow. Well, they're gone.
Correct.
Well, now you're, like... I don't want to make your life more stressful.
But, no.
But, like, then you're next in line. Like, because that's, like, a timeline. Oh, like, no, once they go, you
actually,
know...
I was actually going to bring that up, and that's one of the things, like, I feel like... One thing that like when I start getting panic attacks about dying, the one thing that brings me back out of it is knowing that all four of my grandparents are still alive. Because in the quote-unquote normal chain, like the Circle of Life, Lion King horse shit, you know, like the elders of your family die, then the next elders die, and then the blah blah die, then your parents die, then you die.
Yeah, my little chain there as well.
See, to me, I still have six people that have to die before I'm able to die. And that's how I rationalize it in my head. Of course, that's not how life works.
No, but, you know? But I mean, if you're terrified of death, that's probably the best way of looking at it.
Like, that's how I pull myself. There are two ways to pull myself out of a panic attack. Knowing that there are six people that have to die before me, and jerking off. Those are the only two things that work. And it's incredible. The hardest thing to do in the world is trying to fucking get a hard on while, like, you have the feeling of, like, your impending doom, impending death. Like, do you have your panic attacks?
No, but I know a lot about them.
Yeah, I forget who it was. Someone was describing a panic attack, what the actual feeling of it is, and it's the moment of, like, when someone pulls a gun out and points it right at your head.
It's that pure adrenaline.
Yep, like, it's the pure knowing you are going to die. And it's like when like you're swimming in the ocean and you're seeing the shark come up out of the water straight at you. That's a panic attack.
You ever heard the song Panic Attack by Dream Theater?
Nope. Oh, I've heard the song. I don't know. I've never listened to lyrics.
If you listen to the lyrics, that's all the lyrics are.
Oh, really?
He literally explains everything. One of them must have them because he just explains a panic attack.
But yeah, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I'm trying to think. There's some comedian who's talking about what to do with panic attacks and they're like, jerk off. Just fucking whip out your dick and start beating it furiously. And A, just the chemical change that goes through your brain at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And B, the ridiculousness of you, during the thought of impending doom, beating your meat like it's going to save your life. Those things pull you out of it. And that's what pulls me out of that. And just knowing that there are six people in my world that have to die before I'm allowed to die. Because that's how the universe works. Even though, obviously, it doesn't work that
way. No, but the universe is a strange thing.
No shit.
Why are we here?
Oh, God.
Why is there life and death?
On the next episode. On the next episode of Mixing Up with Mike Carpenter. The meaning of life. We'll dig deep. Well, I have Morgan Freeman on my next
Thank
episode.
Thank you. I was actually going to say that.
I thought I could see the Morgan Freeman in your brain.
We'll go into the wormhole. With Morgan Freeman.
Andy Dufresne. Oh, God. That's awful.
Nobody can.
So that's every note I have has been crossed out. So, I mean, anything else you want to hit on? Like, I think this is a good episode. I mean, time wise and just content wise, I'm happy with this episode. But
me too.
I'm not happy. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not like.
Yes, this was awesome. Woo!
Thank God I had the opportunity. But yeah, you know. What I
mean? Yeah, because you didn't even want to ask me to do this.
I was really nervous about it.
You were hitting around that you were beating around that bush, and I ended up asking you if you wanted to do it. And
I there are certain topics that I want to have episodes about. Homosexuality is one of them, and I have, you know, a lot of gay friends, and then a lot who are open to doing one. And Obi was my best friend, and then so we were comfortable. Blah blah. One of a religion episode, which was the last episode that just aired. Death and mortality is just. To me, it's a big part of my life. Not so much death, but mortality, which mm-hmm. I guess is death, you know. But, like, my own mortality is one of the biggest parts of my life. Because it's every day I think about it and just fucking fear it, and it's always there. So, speaking to someone else who has a lot of experience with life ending.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah, I got, yeah. Yeah,
this podcast is for me, by all means. The fans, fuck them, this is for me. Like, if I can heal my own brain through talking to other people, that's what this is all about.
Yeah, fuck you guys.
This is my therapy. this is my own free therapy. But yeah, I have a couple other things I still want to get into with, like, other. I have a lot of future episodes I want to get into, but anyway, like, I didn't know a lot of people. Like, you, I would say you have the most experience with death. More than anyone else I know. I mean, I don't know anyone who's actually died and come back from it, but.
Yeah, just.
That'd be neat if I get into that with someone.
That would be insane. I mean, I've seen those things where people are like, I saw myself hovering above my body.
Yeah, and I've read both. I've read other ones where, like, nothing happened. I pretty much, it's like, I remember this, and then I woke up.
Yeah.
There was nothing in between.
Yep.
Yeah. And there's a lot of, and I've read a lot of scientific, quote unquote, explanations about how. Like, the tunnel theory, people are like, oh, I saw the tunnel. There's tons of explanations to explain what the quote-unquote tunnel that people see are. Tons of things, chemicals pumping, certain... Mm-hmm. I can't even speak now, but... everything can be explained one way and everything can be explained some other way. And,
mm-hmm.
Or the life can be crazy and no one understands any of it.
I like that idea.
I love that idea. I love the idea that just there are so many things that we can't explain because they're crazy. Like, well, I mean, shit's nuts. Just
take the human brain. How long has humanity been around? And we still don't know shit about the human brain.
We know a lot, but still a lot we don't know.
Like your imagination.
Yeah.
Imagine something.
Yeah.
They don't know why you can do that.
Yeah.
They understand why the chemical does, what chemicals release to make you imagine something.
Yeah.
But they have no idea why your brain can do that. Like, it just has something like, I think it was imagination.
No, I get what you're saying. Yeah, it's like things like dreams. Dreams to me are one of those things that make me hope that there is life after death.
Because, oh my God, I love reading about dreams.
Yeah, I do too. Because the concept of a dream, like the idea that like someone can go to sleep.
Mean?
Oh, no, not that, but just the fact that, like, I can go to sleep, I'm in my bed, but somehow in my head, I am still fully walking. I can create my entire world.
That's where you get into, like, lucid dreaming.
Yeah, lucid dreaming and shit, yeah. And then, like, I read a lot about astral projection, which I don't believe in astral projection, but I like the idea of it. You know what astral projection is?
Yeah.
Your consciousness can leave your body and travel around the world and shit. That's fucking bizarre. And, I don't believe in it, but I wish it was
one of my friends was really trying hard to lucid dream, like there's things you can do to make yourself do that.
Books on it, yeah.
Well, then I think he actually did it
mm-hmm.
once.
No, yeah.
And then he realized he was like in it, and then he popped her out. Like he just doesn't want to do it now
mm-hmm.
because he's terrified that he won't, like Inception.
Yeah, well,
he's terrified that he won't know if he's dreaming or if he's awake.
There's a podcast called You Made It Weird, and on that, I forget who the fuck the guest was. They were talking about lucid dreaming. And the one guy's a big, big fan. Like, that's a big part of his life, is lucid dreaming. And he actually has, like, not the top that you spin, like, Inception-wise, but he has a whole lot of, it's a lot of things you can do. A notebook, keeping a notebook by your bed, or keeping a notebook with you at all times, and writing a certain sentence. Because in your dreams, you can't, I forget what it is, in your dreams, you're using a certain part of your brain, so you can't read in your dreams. Apparently, like, you can't actually read words in your dreams. So what he would do is, if he can write the same sentence out and see that sentence on a piece of paper, he knows he's awake. And so in his dream, when he's lucid dreaming, and he's like, oh shit, I'm not sure if I'm dreaming or not, I probably shouldn't go pull the trigger on this thing, or you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm going to quick get out my notebook, write the sentence down, and if he can't do it, or if it's obviously just like this crazy, like jumbled up bullshit, or if it draws a watch or some bullshit, he knows he's dreaming.
They just made a game. I just saw it actually yesterday. It's called Dream, and it looks... It's called Dream.
Oh, no, I mean, like, but a video?
Yeah.
Video?
PC. Oh, it was, okay. Like, an indie game.
Tweet.
Just like the game that you showed me, the one with the sharks.
Oh, yeah, that's...
Yeah, well, I looked more into that, and then I found another one mm-hmm. that was called Dream, and it's about a guy who gets lost in lucid dreaming.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it's gorgeous. It looks beautiful.
That's awesome.
And I also saw the most terrifying game I've ever seen.
Amnesia?
It's supposed to be better.
Oh, what is it?
It's called Outlast. They're calling it like they're like the next Amnesia or better.
Oh yeah.
And they showed this guy with this demo, dude. And it's scary as fuck.
Oh, that's awesome.
You have no weapons.
Oh.
You can't use weapons.
Yeah.
You have a fucking night vision camera, and the only ammo you get is more batteries for it.
Oh, that's great.
To make it, and you go to this hospital. He goes to this hospital. The mm-hmm. character is like, and he breaks in because there's like nobody outside, and there's some weird testing. So he goes up,
mm-hmm.
dude, and it's scary. Like, because
yeah, awesome.
When stuff's dark, you don't have a flashlight.
Yeah,
so you have to use that. And it goes into that.
I love that shit.
That night vision camera shit.
The little green stuff.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
That's half the game.
Was it Doom 3? What game? There's one game I can't remember. If it was Doom 3 or Silent Hill 3? Maybe one game where you couldn't use your flashlight and your gun at the same time. Was it Doom 3?
No. No, because I just played it.
I forgot what the game was. Like, you pretty much like walk around with a flashlight, and as soon as you see something creepy, you pretty much have to put your flashlight away and pull your gun out.
It might have been Dead Space.
You can see, like when you pull the trigger, you can see, you know, like
yeah.
the flash will light up the room for a split second, and that's how you fucking see shit. So you have to hold your flashlight,
yeah,
see
it,
shit.
Yeah, it was probably like Silent Hill or something.
Yeah, I can't remember what game, but that was the creepiest fucking thing in the world.
Yeah, because Doom... Because Doom 3, you could have a flashlight, it just died real fast.
Okay. I think it was Silent Hill. It must have been Silent Hill 2 or 3 or
yeah, it was
4 or 5.
It was an FPS, I believe.
Yeah, because it was during high school, and sure, just after. So it would have been before 2006, at least.
And I recommend, if you play video games, play all three. Get Doom the BFG edition, because it has all three.
I heard it's great.
And you can play all three Dooms again. And I went right through all three Dooms on medium difficulty, and it was just a treasure. I was very happy.
All right,
terrifying game.
I think we're call this episode. We good? We could do talking afterwards, but I mean, like, I think this episode is pretty much climaxed, and we've
climaxed everywhere.
We've climbed the hill, and we've ventured back down.
We've ventured back down.
All right, then. Anything you want to plug? I think I asked you this last time, but do you have anything you want to plug?
Royal Crown Soda. Or is it cola? It's Royal Crown Cola. Sorry. I apologize.
Oh, yeah, RC Cola.
RC Cola, and I would like to plug our cheers. Cheer. We would like to plug the Gaslight in Wellsboro, Pennsylvania.
It's a great bar.
It is a great bar. It's the greatest bar.
It's a good bar.
It is. Oh, by the way, insanely busy last night. Busier than I've ever seen it.
I heard it got nuts.
There was not an open seat for 2.5 hours.
There's a lot of seating at this bar.
Like, yeah. And
it's not a tiny bar. Like,
it's never been that busy on a wing night. Fresh wings every Wednesday and Sunday.
Yeah, good wings.
Yeah, fresh.
like fresh. Straight off the chicken.
Straight off the chicken. We kill them because we're from Pennsylvania.
Straight off the buffalo. But,
yes.
All right, so I'm going to plug all my shit here, and I have tons of shit. All right, so first off, my Facebook page, I always forget what the actual address is, so just search Mixing Up with Mike Carpenter on Facebook. I'm the only one. Like the page, because then it'll look like I'm more important than what I am, which that's fun. Also, always leave feedback. I mean, like, I appreciate any feedback anyone leaves me. I like having every so often, talking about listener feedback on my show and telling all the audience my comments and bullshit. But so there's a Facebook page. Then there's, I have an email, Gmail account, which is mixingitupwithmikecarpenter@gmail.com. It's insanely long to type out, but just deal with it. I have a phone number, Google Voice. Call me, leave me voicemails. Only one person has, you sons of bitches. But it's 702-POD-CUNT. That's 702 PODCUNT.
Such a fantastic number.
It really is. I have, my Twitter, which I love. I've been kind of neglecting lately. I have to get back on Twitter more. But follow me on Twitter at Mike's Shit. That is MikesShit. It's fun. I'll follow you and we can talk and have fun. Who is it? Liam. Oh, fuck. Liam, I forgot your last name. I feel like a bastard.
Neeson.
No, one of my followers. When he listens to my episodes, he live tweets as he listens to it and then, like, starts commenting on everything I talk about, and it's great. I love him. Liam, I can't think of... Liam, I'm
We're going to pretend you're Liam Neeson.
Yeah, it's Liam McSomething. I forget. I my phone's right here beside me, but I want to get my phone out. But, Liam, you're awesome. You're pretty much the shit.
You're a gentleman and a scholar.
Indeed.
I used to know how to say that in Spanish, but...
let's see, so what, my Facebook, blah, 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 my Twitter. My favorite thing in the world ever is Snapchat. I love it. I love you, Snapchat.
And cocaine. We plug cocaine here.
even more Snapchat. So add me on Snapchat. My Snapchat name is MIUWMC. It's the initials of Mixing Up with Mike Carpenter. Pretty easy to figure out. Except it just took me a second. But still, follow me. Well, yeah, I don't wait. Not follow me. I guess add me on Snapchat. We'll Snapchat each
Snap
other all
with
the time.
Him.
I love Snapchat. Actually, I've had tons of fucking just random people add me on Snapchat, and I love them. I just love Snapchat. I'm at the bar tonight, snapping all night.
Yeah, love you it. Do. And I crawl into some of them.
Yeah. Love Snapchat. I won't get creepy unless you get creepy first. Then we can get creepy together. It's all good. I think that's all, I guess. Listen to other podcasts on the Pop Out Network, because there's some good shows on here. Whatever. I mean, obviously, if you found this, you probably have listened to other ones also, so... Neat. I'm assuming I already did an Amazon commercial, so we're good. But, I guess that's all. I always forget what all I... those things are hard to remember. I guess we're good. Fuck it. You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
I'm good. We're good. What time is it? Wow!
We've been talking a long time.
Didn't we get here at like 11:30?
Yeah. It's 2:45 a.m. And I gotta be up for work.
Oh, shit. Alright.
I don't care.
I work tomorrow, too.
I was gonna say, but I work in 5 hours.
Yeah, I don't work till 10 o'clock tomorrow night.
And I'm gonna eat the rest of that crunchy taco hamburger helper.
That was good.
I'm gonna eat the rest of it. I told her she could take it for lunch tomorrow, but I'm gonna eat the rest of it.
Alright, well, thanks for listening. Yay! This is my outro. That's like fading out. Oh my god, I'm fading.
Bye.
I'm fading.
See you later.
It's a Cable Guy?
Yeah. The greatest movie ever made.
Cable Guy reference. Oh my god.
Yay. That's not my favorite.